Hey Tribe, and welcome back to the Free Radicals podcast. Once again, my name is Jeremy.
And I'm Tori.
And today we're going to talk about how all of us that are going through all of this right now are coping with it, or rather not coping with it in some cases. We just feel it's the most relevant topic because we have just been having a lot of experiences just dealing with people in real life in all different shapes and sizes, and we've had a lot of just peculiar experiences, like with our family, with friends that we meet up with people that we see out in public, and of course what's been going on social media. And we just feel that it's the most relevant thing that we could talk about right now, because what a lot of us need more than anything is just an honest conversation about everything that's happening, and how it's okay to feel a certain way about it, and that whatever your reaction is right now, that it's okay, and we need to move through it together.
Yeah, it's about, well, it's over 4 months now into COVID, and I think at first, the first 15 days of isolation, everyone was really trying to stay positive and keep their mental health together, and we thought it was going to be fine, we can make it through this, no big deal. But as the months go on, and the problem is just getting worse, especially here in the United States, our cases are spiking every single day, people are still out of work, the government's doing nothing to help, they're just making the problem worse, and I think everyone's mental health is just starting to suffer from all of the injustices that we are constantly witnessing, especially on social media, where you get information overload. And so we just thought we'd make this podcast today to kind of check in with everyone, see where you're at, and kind of talk about where we're at as well.
Yeah, we haven't uploaded for over 3 weeks now, and the main reason for that is that we're living with my niece and nephew temporarily, and we really got to give it up to the parents out there, because, I mean, we're just watching them part-time, and my mom is watching them the most, but it's a lot, you know? Like, kids really demand a lot of you, and it's not the kids' fault at all, it's just, you know, we don't have a system that's really conducive to taking care of children, especially when things are quote-unquote normal and parents are gone at work for so much of the time, and then, you know, there's all kinds of housework and chores to do on top of giving them the attention that they need, and it's a lot, man. Parenthood is demanding.
Especially now with COVID, where kids are out of school, not just for summer break, but because, you know, COVID. So their parents and the kids are together more than they've probably ever been. And the parents still have to resume normal working life. So they have to be parents, teachers, employees, activists, depending on, you know, which issue they care about right now. There's just so much going on in everyone's life. So for the parents to also balance children is a huge feat, and you guys don't get enough credit.
Yeah, you really don't.
Teachers don't get enough credit. Anyone who works with children, like, it's a big job. We have to raise our youth and help them through these troubling times. Both of the kids that we're watching, our niece and nephew, they're under 10 years old. And the older one is definitely very aware of what's going on.
Yes.
And she wears it on her sleeve.
Yeah, and my niece, Jada, she's very intelligent. She's a very empathetic person. Like, she feels everything. And she really senses, like, everything that's going on. And both of her parents are healthcare workers, so of course, you know, they're really having to deal with it. And they were working staggered shifts where, you know, my brother Jacob would work during the day, and then my sister-in-law would work at night. And the kids would kind of, you know, have to look after themselves for the most part while my sister-in-law's sleeping, because there's just no other choice, right? Childcare is closed down. You do what you have to do to make it through this time. And it just goes to show again and again that our society is not structured to handle any type of crisis. This is what happens when you build a society around what makes money and not what is scientific, not what is best for the people. It's just about what's the most profitable way to do things. And because of that, when it comes to a genuine crisis actually happening once, it just all the gaping flaws are laid bare. And at this point, those who are still rabidly defending capitalism, I mean, like, it's this is religious fundamentalism that is like the people who were cheering at witch burnings. I mean, it is on that level of just delusion that this system is in any way capable of sustaining human society, because this is not the last time we're going to see something like this. And without certain measures in place, without common sense measures in place, the next time it's just going to be worse. And
Well, people aren't blaming, most people aren't blaming capitalism. They think that that part's fine and it would function as it's supposed to without corrupt governments. So most people are just blaming the government itself.
Yeah, that's a chicken or the egg argument, because like they never take it that step further and ask like, well, how did the government become corrupt? It's the private business interests that bribe the officials, right? And for a certain group of people, like they're never blamed. The wealthy business owners that ruined the government just so they could point to the government's incompetence and say, hey, look, government doesn't work. Well, yeah, if you break somebody's leg and then blame them for not being able to compete in the race, yeah. Yeah, that's how you make that argument.
And how do you make the argument for Jeff Bezos increasing his personal wealth by what, 30,
13 billion in one day.
13 billion in one day? Did he just work so hard that day that he earned that much more? No, it's just the stock market.
Yeah. It's a two-tiered system on every front. And I mean, and there are people, I've seen them, and they're probably bots at this point. Like, I just think the internet is just overrun with bots since this whole thing happened,
You just
because
hope they're not real.
I mean, yeah, I hope they're not real, put it that way. I'm really just trying to maintain my faith in humanity at this point. But like people defending Jeff Bezos, like saying like, oh, he really was just that much smarter, and
He's self-made.
he's self-made, and like none of it came from privilege, none of it was because like there's really corrupt practices right now where private corporations can have the government bid in a race to the bottom to give them massive tax breaks instead of like funding social services for their populations with tax money. They just make these corporations not pay it so that Jeff Bezos can, be a
The
trillionaire.
first trillionaire.
Yeah, like
And
while
he's
the rest
not.
of us suffer.
Has he increased wages? Actually, no. He gave them, the warehouse workers, a $2 an hour extra hero's pay
Temporarily.
at the beginning of the pandemic, and then he took it away. And the pandemic is not over. It's getting worse, if anything. And yeah, so he's earning all of this money from our purchases, our labor for him, but he can't even raise wages during a pandemic where most people are unemployed these days. So,
And so why, and how does this relate to our topic? It's just people, more of us are starting to figure out that
yeah.
that's the system that we live in, right? It really is this bad. And a lot of people are starting to figure that out, and it's extremely depressing for a lot of people that just really have avoided paying attention for a lot of reasons. I mean, you can't fault people 100% for that, especially right now. I mean, we haven't uploaded for over 3 weeks because like it's hard to stay ultra focused on this while at the same time we have to show a calm, caring face to our niece and nephew, because it's just not fair. It's not fair to let them see you stressed out. It's not fair to let them see you angry when they need every grounding positive emotion possible in order for them to make it through this. Parents, I get you. I mean, like, you're really in a hard spot right now. Hats off to you.
Yeah, I definitely overdid it with social media and being hyper aware of everything. I mean, you know, we've been following this kind of stuff for years now, and we knew something like this was coming. I didn't really connect it to a deadly virus, but now that it's here, you know, it was all very exciting at first, sharing information and connecting with people and, like, getting on the same page with so many people, or the opposite page and seeing where people lie on their issues and their morals.
Seeing their true colors come out.
Seeing everyone's true colors has been a little demoralizing because, you know, you think that you can just knowledge bomb people to the point where they get it, where things click for them. But then you realize that a lot of times you're operating on different levels of historical understanding. And then it just becomes very overwhelming to think that you could change anyone's mind. Like, you see the lines in the sand dividing people. And it's sad.
Yeah, the biggest one for me has been just, like, there are obviously many stops along the sliding scale of where people sit on this. But for the most part, there are me-centered people and we-centered people. And you can be at either one of those extremes, or you can be at several spots along the way. But I think that more than anything, we have seen just who the system has really worked on extremely well, and those of us who were probably outside the system before all this happened, you know, we have totally different ideas about, like, what we should be doing right now. There are some people that really just want things to go back to normal, you know, so they can get back to, I suppose, what was their everlasting lives of distraction that were going on before all this happened. You know, they developed an entire existence around, like, well, I'm going to vote once every 4 years, and, you know, once I do that, I'm just going to kind of go along, and I'm going to go out to the bars, and I'm going to go out to the restaurants, and I'm going to go out to the movies, and I'm going to keep myself constantly entertained and distracted with all my own personal stuff, and the world's just going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah, consumerism's really come to a halt, and consumerism is a huge distraction industry that a lot of people were engaged in.
It was a huge coping mechanism, you know, and that's been stripped away now, and that's why you're starting to see these severe forms of mental illness and all these Karens that are having breakdowns in stores, and, you know,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at that.
It's, you know, I mean, like, part of it's funny to our lizard brain, you know, to some extent, but it's also very sad, you know, because you're seeing people that don't have any coping skills, you know, like, we don't teach that in our schools at all. We don't teach how to govern your own mental health, and there's good reasons for that, not the least of which being the more unstable your mental health is, the better of a consumer that you are. Yeah, like, of course you're going to just not think about what you're doing with your purchases, and the more you can distract yourself from those underlying problems that have never been addressed, you know, the easier it is.
Even kids learn at a very young age to distract themselves from the things that bother them.
Oh man.
Whether it's distraction eating, or, you know, compulsively doing things, playing to avoid a difficult topic. I don't know if that's healthy necessarily. I think, you know, we need to talk about ways to move past what's bothering us, but the first part of that is being vulnerable enough to tell people what's going on.
Yes.
And I don't know if we teach people, not just kids, but, you know, adults, the language to communicate.
We don't. You know, imagine the world that we would live in if, when we went to school, we did teach healthy emotional coping skills based in science, you know, because there's a lot of spiritual advice about coping with our emotions that just sends people to some bad places. But yeah, I mean, just genuine psychology skills for, you know, just even like calming down and doing breathing exercises. Like, it's amazing, like, how few people would just have no concept of doing that.
Yeah, that's a really big one. We just forget to breathe. Straight up, just shallow, short breaths all day. Never take a full breath. And it's amazing how much it can calm your nerves just to do that, just to fill up your chest and your stomach with air and hold it for a minute and then...
And so many of us aren't stepping away to do that at all. I mean, like, for a lot of people, since this whole thing started, it was just nonstop social media from the time they woke up to the time they went to bed because they don't feel like they don't want to miss anything.
That was how it was for us when the riots began, especially.
Oh, yeah.
We were watching video footage of it day and night. And I just remember feeling like, oh, I don't want to step away. It's not just that I couldn't, I just didn't want to.
Right.
I didn't care if I took a deep breath.
Because you're watching history unfold, and I'm sure that's what people were thinking all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's not good. I mean, just for some context, neither Tori or I were on social media before we started our YouTube channel. At all.
We had to download Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Twitter for the first time, and mm-hmm. Facebook we had
just
deleted years ago.
Yeah, we had just, put our account in suspension or whatever.
Yeah, that's all they let you do.
Yeah, right. But, it was not until the night of the Iowa caucus when all that crazy shadow app thing happened, and like it was just so blatant, just naked corruption that they were trying to rig the primary, that made us get on Twitter for the first time because we just needed to know, like, what is going on, like, what the hell is happening right now. And then we saw a few more events happen over the next few weeks, and at that point we had talked about doing YouTube and a podcast maybe, but we just never got to it until we just started to see the series of events that was unfolding this year, and we knew we had to get started. Mm-hmm. So since then, in order to help promote the channel and get the word out, we've been on social media a lot compared to what we used to be. And, I've noticed a difference. Yeah.
Put it this way, I went from using my phone for 2.5 hours a day to using it almost 10 hours a day.
Yep. when we get those screen reports, we've just been so depressed because it's like, really, I spend this much time on my phone?
And the whole time it's retrieving and sharing information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your brain is constantly in computer mode, and it's just overwhelming.
Constant outrage mode.
Outrage.
Because there are so many bad stories happening because of disaster capitalism. Like, mm-hmm. whether it's what's been going on at the meatpacking plants, which are just crimes against humanity.
Where they're forcing workers to do their job even though so many of them are getting sick with COVID.
Yeah, and me, naively, I genuinely expected that, like, once those stories came out, be like, oh, we're going to see a surge in people stopping to eat meat. Because, like, there's no way people are just going to, like, send those workers to go die so that they can have a cheeseburger. Yeah.
No, they're just thinking, oh, I can cook the meat and I won't get sick.
Exactly right.
Not considering that the people who bring that meat to you could be getting sick by doing that for you.
Yeah. So, that's one. And,
disaster capitalism.
Religion getting bailout money, like the churches getting bailout money.
That's crazy.
That was a very hard story for me to swallow. And, like, how so many people were just kind of okay with it,
Totally fine with it.
People that don't pay taxes, getting taxpayer money for bailouts. Like, I thought that was one of the most outrageous stories that we have seen this entire crisis cycle. But it got very little attention.
Well, I'm blown away by this whole conversation about sending the kids back to school. As if wearing masks wasn't divisive enough. Like, we had to have a worldwide debate about wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to talk about whether or not to send the kids back to school. And Trump and DeVos, Betsy DeVos, the most evil woman in the administration, is threatening to cut funding for public schools if they don't send the kids back.
Yeah, and this is how disaster capitalism works. I mean, like, all these programs that they're trying to put
slash
in right
and
now,
burn.
Like, these programs about, cutting the payroll tax to do a bailout and all this stuff, anybody who thinks that they just came up with this on the fly since this crisis happened does not understand the ruling class. They had their lawyers draw up plans for stuff like this probably years ago, and they were just waiting for the opportunity where they could bring it in. So,
no, they caused the pandemic, and then they crashed the stock market, and then they let George Soros fund Black Lives Matter protests so they could spread civil unrest.
Yeah, exactly.
This is all created for you.
Like, maybe we just shouldn't talk about the conspiracy theorists and what they're up to lately, because I could just go on forever about that.
Well, I think that kind of ties into some of the mental health aspect. Because, you know, there's two types of avoidance that I see. Some people are just trying to get back to normal, where, you know, the economy's open again. They could just be consumers and live that life and not have to focus on politics ever again.
Right.
And then the other side is, like, completely changing reality and living in this false world, and, you know, just falling for any conspiratorial myth that is propagated on the internet, especially by QAnon. So yeah, people are trying to just live in a world that's comfortable rather than the one that we're all experiencing, which is pretty shit.
It is pretty shit.
But yeah, there's a lot of things to be upset about, and I think a big part of why we're all having mental health problems is because we can't picture a future. Even for us, you know, we've always kind of lived an impulsive lifestyle, you know. Sometimes we're working, sometimes we're traveling. You know, we've always just kind of flown by the seat of our pants and done what we feel like doing. But now we can't picture a future much at all, because even getting back on the road, which we're preparing to do, we don't know how that's gonna look. Like, are parks gonna be open? Are public water gonna be available? Are people gonna be crazy as hell living out in the wilderness? Like, are we gonna have to deal with more violent freakouts like we did?
Yeah, you know, like, and that's another reason why we haven't uploaded, is because we've been remodeling the van, like, fixing kind of the problems that we thought that if one of these things broke on the road, we'd really be up Schitt's Creek. But, you know, now we've made some modifications to where if any part of the van was to break down, I could fix it really easily on the road. And we're also kind of livening up the inside. You guys will see when we start filming in there again. Like, we've got you'll just see. It's nice. We put stuff on the walls to make us feel good and kind of
painting.
Yeah. Draped our lights and, like, fake plants and stuff, you know. It'll be cute. Anyway. Anyway, yeah, we've been doing all that, but at the same time, we've been worrying, like, you know, what's it going to be like when we get back out there? Because we really need to, like, we've been cooped up in this house for 3 months now. And, you know,
these are the kind of healthy distractions that we're trying to engage in.
Yes.
While we're not on social media and while we're not making videos.
Yes.
Like, getting into art. Mm-hmm. We're going to go run away to the wilderness and hike until we can't walk.
Yeah, because we feel like we need that therapy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
fresh air.
Yeah.
Being surrounded by green trees.
Yeah, and friends, like, I feel like we've said this a bunch of times on our channel, but don't ever look at Tori and I as gurus that have something figured out that you don't, because we're not. We're just normal folks that maybe have read a little bit more than the average person, which isn't a high standard of comparison considering the society that we're living in. We're just normal people like you, just trying to figure it all out. You know, we've been having a hard time through this crisis just like everybody else. I mean, we're not nearly as in good a shape as what we were when we got here, huh? We've definitely fallen victim to some of the emotional eating, and I mean, of course, our diet's still a lot cleaner than a lot of people's, but, you know, we've definitely just been doing the normal person thing. You know, we drank alcohol more than we normally have, which is still like once every couple weeks for us. That's a lot for us, but still, we've been trying to cope with everything in the ways that everybody else does, because we just need a break, man. And sometimes having a few beers is it's a nice way to take the edge off.
Hitting the baked goods pretty hard.
The baked goods. You know, and we really just want to get back out in nature and be able to work out outside and smell fresh air and wake up smelling nature like we were doing for the previous 9 months before all this went down.
Yeah, we've been holed up in the suburbs too. So,
yeah.
Like, before, we were out in the wild, quite literally, almost usually without cell phone service, mm-hmm. and we would catch every sunrise, every sunset.
Mm-hmm.
We would see the moon phases every single night and kind of lived our life based on that, like where the wind blows, where the sun shines. And we were so connected to nature,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what we need to get back to. I think I'll feel a lot more at peace and able to do the activist work when I feel alive like I did.
I feel the same way. Like, even though, you know, because times are so desperate, it's a little bit more dangerous on the road than what it used to. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a risk I'm willing to take in order to get back my peace of mind. We'll probably be in Colorado. So any members of the tribe that are out that way, maybe we can have some Cuban contact at some point.
Some social distancing beers or a yeah. hike. You could social distance on a hike.
But yeah, it's... I don't know. I mean, I really did feel so much more connected to nature. And
that's, you know, part of being a human.
It is.
We need that, and we just don't value that in Western society.
And we
never talk about it. Like, for people to be interested in nature, it's often kind of, like, not normal.
Yeah, I mean, because we've gradually gotten farther away from it. Like, you know, we started living in houses and not spending a lot of time outside and watching TV when TV was just the thing, you know? And then, like, we have all these tech devices now where not only are we not being out in nature and being inside of a house all the time, but we're also, like, connected to a screen, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the further that we get away from the sounds of nature, the streams and the birds and all of that that are really calming to us, the more unstable we get. And it seems like now we've kind of reached the pinnacle of instability
mm-hmm.
as a culture. And it's not just Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we speak from an American perspective because we don't presume to speak for Canadians or anybody else. But, I mean, whatever problems that capitalism has are always worse here. And especially the feeling of disconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
Man, America just really seems to be taking the cake.
Ugh, yeah.
So what do we do, folks?
This isn't just a misery loves company conversation.
Yep. So what do? I mean, clearly, we need a new way of life coming out of this thing.
And I don't know if we can vote our way to it.
I don't think so either. I really don't. So we have to organize. We do. We have to organize these strikes. And, you know, I wish that I knew, like, the key steps to go beyond that. I don't. I'm not an organizer. I've always felt like my role is an educator. And
mm-hmm.
we share ideas with people that aren't familiar with them and make people that do share our ideas not feel so alone by listening to us, because that's important. You know, we kind of wanted to make this podcast today just to kind of reconnect with everybody and let them know that however you're feeling while all this is going down, it's just okay. You
yeah.
know, it really doesn't matter. Like, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist that's spreading really toxic information, like, I don't hate you. You know, like, that's not what I feel for you at all. Like, I mean, I want you to just accept reality and come back to what's going on because we need you. That's what I want from you. You know, like, if you really think that Donald Trump is, like, going to save the world from the evil Satan-worshipping child abusers, I mean, I don't hate you, but I really wish that you would just come back to reality and embrace, like, what is happening, what is really going on, like, what the real conspiracies are. Why isn't the conspiracy that all these ultra-wealthy capitalists want to force everybody back to work and back to school before it's safe, so the virus can just do whatever it's going to do,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to make any fundamental changes to the system? Why is that conspiracy not good enough for people? I don't understand. Right?
They don't even want to believe that the virus is real.
Exactly right. and why? Because, like, how do we get into this? I mean, well, if we wouldn't have been eating animals, would this have happened? It's an open question. you know, we're not going to say with absolute certainty that if everybody was vegan, this wouldn't have happened, but we do have to look at some of our more barbarous practices and how unsanitary that it is, and know that this is not the first pandemic to come out of these practices, and that we really need to change them. I mean, the swine flu epidemic came from our pork processing plants here in the States. That was revealed. They tried to say it came from Mexico, but that was untrue. So we need some major shifts in that area. We really need to rethink animal agriculture altogether. As far as the social system goes.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to stop letting ultra-wealthy capitalists hoard all of the profit and all of the resources. They're just stripping the people bare,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing we can do about it.
No.
They own the government. They own huge parts of the cities that they operate in, like Amazon, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Bezos is going to be one of the only employers left after this corporate consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to stop them. I mean, yeah, we can boycott their products and their services, but he's got his roots in so many aspects of our society. I mean, he works with the CIA, for God's sake.
Just how the, yeah, and that's, people don't understand the machine that we're up against, you know, like this corporate oligopoly,
yeah.
where there, it's just, you know, these extremely wealthy business owners have merged with the government itself,
mm-hmm.
in order to create this parasitic form of government that just feeds off the lower classes in every conceivable way.
Yeah, people are getting filthy rich,
mm-hmm.
off of the destruction of our society.
I mean, it's just outrageous. You watch these people's, all so many people's wealth has just shot up, like, since this is happening, which just shows you that our well-being is not connected to the ruling class's well-being.
Just like I said, social media is ruining people's mental health,
mm-hmm.
yet Mark Zuckerberg,
mm-hmm.
the creator of Facebook,
mm-hmm.
his personal wealth has shot up in the billions,
over the past few months.
So
yep.
He's making money off of our mental health deterioration.
Yep. Same with Bill Gates. Same with Jeff Bezos. Same with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Like all of these people, and it's just like the stratification has gotten worse. You know, you would think that if our society was remotely sane, if there was anybody with a conscience behind the wheel, you would think that at least while this is going on, maybe we just kind of offset the normal looting that's going on and start giving some back to the lower classes so they can make it through. But that's, people misunderstand if they think that there's anybody in charge that even remotely gives a shit about us. There's just not. It's just a bunch of white-collar criminal psychopaths that are just stealing everything. They have no care for the future. You know, a lot of them are in their 60s, and
mm-hmm.
they figure they're not going to be around for it anyway. So, and they don't know how to think about other people. They just don't. Like,
and people idolize them for having this wealth and this power.
Yep.
As if it is moral for one person to own so much of the things that so many people rely on for survival.
Mm-hmm. They're just so drunk with self-glorification.
Yeah.
You know, and the other people that are avoiding the reality of what the world is and where it's going, like people that they don't believe in climate change, they don't believe that making any changes to their personal lifestyle will have like any sort of impact on, you know, the future of the world. Like, they don't ever think about things from that perspective, you know? Like, they only think about what's good for them and what's going to make them happy. And that's what the system has tried to make every single one of us since we were babies.
Yeah.
It's set up to do that.
Makes people think that greed is the only way to get ahead. And getting ahead is the most important thing. Like, do whatever you have to do, even if it means tearing down somebody else, to be on top.
Mm-hmm.
And that permeates even the lowest class people in our society.
Yep.
It's like we should all be working together and realizing who our common oppressor and enemy is. And it is the person who values greed over cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And just part of the depression I think that so many of us are experiencing is because we see how corrupt the government is because of the corporations who own everything and own us, essentially. And it's starting to look like the only way out of this is all-out revolution.
Yeah.
And what part do we each play in this revolution? I don't think everyone's meant to be in the streets or, you know, violently fighting back, whatever that looks like. That's not everyone's role, so...
It's certainly not mine. I can't imagine myself in that position.
We each have to ask that of ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if that makes me scared or whatever, I mean, okay, you know, I accept that as part of myself, but like, I'm not a violent person. I could never see myself, you know, in the streets with an automatic weapon, like fighting back against like shock troops. I just don't.
Yeah, that's intense.
But I keep seeing online people are, that rhetoric is becoming more prevalent, where people are just like, and they're going through these stages of, it seems like, acceptance that, like, the ruling class is so crazy that they're not going to leave people a choice. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only way that it's going to happen. And nobody wants it. Nobody wants that. But it's just, I don't know, man. Like I said, it's really just been, it's been a lot. It's been an emotional roller coaster. And we're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. We really are. We want to be able to get on here and talk about good news. We do. Like, I would love to make nothing but positive videos all the time, talking about all the positive changes that are happening and why they're so good for society and why we should be excited about it. I would love to get some material. Anybody in the tribe, if you want to send me some stories like that that we can talk about, I would love to do that. But right now, it just seems like that we're at this precipice. Mm-hmm. You know, and either we're going to go over the cliff or we're going to come to our senses and we're going to start moving in the right direction. And I think that a key component in that is trying to humanize everyone. Literally everyone. Even the ruling class to an extent. You know, I mean, like...
Well, corporations are people, you know.
Oh, God. Don't get me started. But, man, there's a lot of Trump supporters in my family. And I know a lot of them. And they're not all bad. And it's really important that people get that. And I know that they just say these terribly hateful things that you're just... When they say them, you just cannot believe that still people are this clueless and so unwilling to change and think about anything from a new perspective. I get how frustrating that is, but if we don't start being kinder to each other, I just don't see the situation getting any better at all. And I say that as a hypocrite. I say that as someone that gets fed up sometimes and just lets it go. You know, I'm not on the other side of that yet. Are you?
No, I guess not.
They're just really frustrating. And it's like, how can you say this, like, outright just horribly racist and insensitive stuff in this moment? Like, this is... Because it's really hard to cope with people being focused on that, you know? Like, while this is going on, while we need these major societal changes, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about how reverse racism is a problem. You want to talk about how Black Lives Matter is trying to bring in this Marxist revolution to destroy America. I get it, friends.
That's sad.
If you lose your temper with those people, I absolutely get it. But we just need to try not to.
And I think we each have to take a responsibility for the way that we come across to other people and try not to pass the pain along.
Right.
You know?
And that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's projecting pain. You see, this person comes along who probably had a really hard life. You know what I mean? Like, these people who are, like, all in for Trump still. I know a few of them personally, and they had hard lives. And now they're manifesting their pain in a very ugly way, and it's repulsive, frankly, but at the same time, they are deserving of compassion.
That's the only way people heal.
It's it.
That's the key cornerstone for rehabilitation, is making them capable of receiving and giving love again.
Yeah. So if we are going to get out of this, I mean,
love is the only answer to every question. It's hard to remember that, but I don't know. There's just something so pure and simple about it that is easy to come back to and kind of center yourself amongst all of the chaos.
Yeah. And we're up against a system that attempts to drive love out of us in every possible way, you know?
And make us think that love is a weakness.
Mm-hmm. You see that in conservative ideology all the time. Like, facts don't care about your feelings, you know? Yeah. Like, it's all about, like, if you feel for other people, then you're weak. You're a beta. You're a cuck, right? Like, that's the message that they put out, you know? If you care about people, and, like, if you feel, then you're emotional, which translates into being, like, a woman, you know? Mm-hmm. It's being, like, too feminine. It's all of these negative things from their perspective, of course. They're obviously very good things from the perspective of someone who's comfortable with their emotions.
And vulnerability does not help capitalism either. Because, like we said, they live by the greed principle. Whatever mm-hmm. makes you more successful than the other person.
Yes.
And if you're emotional and vulnerable at any point, then you're going to get trampled on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just, we understand how frustrating it can be. We've had to be around people who are just all in for Trump, and it's not that we haven't gotten in arguments with them, because we have, but we've been trying to, like, take a different approach lately, and I don't know.
Like we said, we haven't been showing the kids our aggressive side.
Not at all.
Because we want them to stay calm during this, because, like I said, they're very self-aware of what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped us translate that into how we communicate with other people.
Yeah, because everybody deserves the same kindness that you would show kids.
Yeah, you have to keep a cool head. That's the only way that you're going to get out of it with your sanity intact.
Mm-hmm.
Stress literally kills. I mentioned this on one of the other podcasts, but I just got so stressed out for too many weeks in a row, mm-hmm. and I literally made myself sick, and my immune system suffered from it. So if we're gonna get out of this and not drag everyone down with us, then we just have to keep a cool head, project love and calmness, and just try to stay in the moment as much as possible. If you let your mind wander into the future, which is unpredictable, then you're just gonna get overrun with anxiety.
Yeah, a 10-minute meditation works wonders, guys.
Yeah.
It really does.
We've got to make that part of our practice every day.
Yeah.
Just 10 minutes to breathe deep and empty your mind.
It's not that we shouldn't use social media. I mean, like, I imagine it probably would be hard not having any communication. Like, I really like the interactions that we've had in our Facebook group. It's great. There's so many great people mm-hmm. In that group.
Love you guys.
Yeah, we do love you guys. And, you know, we're very humbled that our work could attract so many intelligent, compassionate people to it. It's, you know, it's something that we're very grateful for, and, you know, why we felt bad about not being able to upload as often, but, you know, we don't really get to see our family that much,
mm-hmm.
and we are about to head out and be all on our own.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely be giving you a lot more regular uploads once that happens. But
yeah, stay connected to people through social media, but also take plenty of time to live in the real world.
Yes.
Because this one demands all of your attention as well.
It does. Yeah. And, you know, we don't know where this is going, guys. We really don't. But we are going to be on the road soon, probably in the next week. And we'll be bringing you on our adventures and letting you know exactly what it's like out there. And, you know, we have a lot of topics planned for the future. We have a lot of videos planned. It's just, it's really impossible to film anything around here right now. So please bear with us. We absolutely are going to be getting back to working on this full time as soon as we can. But for right now, we just wanted to check in and let you guys know that we are thinking about you, and we're trying to do our best to move through the situation as well as anybody can be expected to right now. And we want to tell you to keep hope alive. We can't give you a lot of reasons to do that, rather
You gotta
than,
find it yourself.
I mean, like, just rather than that we're human beings and we've been through hard times before. And when we look at what we're going through right now, like, you look at history and like events like World War II, and just imagine how freaking dark that was, and imagine the doom and gloom thoughts. And I know that we have climate change and a lot of other challenges that weren't even an issue back then, but
Nuclear weapons.
yeah, the possible nuclear holocaust and superpowers feuding for world domination and
Yeah, it's gonna be good times
good times, good times.
ahead.
So, I'm sure that you're glad that you tuned in.
Yeah, but as a human civilization, we've made it through a lot of really awful times. So if we could do that then, we can do that again.
We can. Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to our melodrama.
Yeah.
Tune in next time for some more positive
Yeah.
vibes.
Yeah, guys, we promise we're gonna get you out a full length, project again really soon, but
Yeah, we really want to do a video on private property
oh
because
yeah.
we feel like that's very relevant right now, especially with so many Americans about to be evicted from their homes that they've paid into for years and years. But because some other private owner has control over the house and the property, or the land that it's on, they do not have any entitlements to the house. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have some great video projects with some great skits planned, but we need to finish up this time with our family and then get out on the road, and we'll be able to bring that to you. But again, guys, we just wanted to check in and tell you that we love you and we're gonna make it, and we will be back with you as soon as we can. But in the meantime, thank you for listening, and love and solidarity, guys.
See you next time, guys.